Listening Library presents The Necromancer, Secrets of the Immortal Nicholas Flamel, by Michael Scott. Read for you by Paul Baymer.
I am frightened. Not for myself, but for those I will leave behind. Perronel and the twins. I am resigned that we will not recover the Codex in time to save my wife and me. I have perhaps a week, certainly no more than two, left before old age claims me. Perronel will have a few days more. And now that death is almost upon me, I have discovered that I do not want to die. I have lived upon this earth for 676 years, and there is still so much that I have not seen, so much that I wish I still had time to do. I am grateful, though, that I have lived long enough to discover the twins of legend, and proud that I began their training in the elemental magics. Sophie has mastered three. Josh, just the one. But he has demonstrated other skills, and his courage is extraordinary. We have returned to San Francisco, having left Dee for dead in England. I am hoping that we have seen the last of him. And even if his encounter with the Archon did not destroy him, I know that his masters will not tolerate failure on this scale. I am disturbed, however, to learn that Machiavelli is here in this city. Perronel trapped him and his companion on Alcatraz, along with the other monsters. But I am not sure how long the rock can hold someone like the Italian immortal. Both Perronel and I are in agreement that Alcatraz is a threat we must try to deal with, while we still can. It chills me to know what the prison's cells hold. Legends tell of times in the past when the Dark Elders unleashed monsters into human cities, and I believe that Dee is insane and desperate enough to do just that. Even more disturbing is the news that Skatach and Joan of Arc are missing. The Notre-Dame legate should have brought them to Mount Tamalpais, but they never arrived. When I spoke with Saint-Germain earlier, he was frantic with worry. But I reminded him that Skatach is over 2,500 years old, and she is the ultimate warrior. Joan, too, is one of the greatest soldiers ever to walk this earth. Francis has examined Point Zero, and found what he believes to be the remnants of the crushed bones of prehistoric animals. I suspect Machiavelli sabotaged the gate using the ancient alchemical spell of attraction. Saint-Germain believes, and I agree with him, that Skatach and Joan have been pulled back in time. But to when? My most pressing concern still lies with the twins. I am no longer sure how they view me. It was always clear that Josh harbored reservations about me, but now I am sensing that they are both fearful and mistrustful. It is true that they discovered portions of my history that I would have preferred be left uncovered. Perhaps I should have been more honest with them. I am not proud of some of the things I have done, but I regret nothing. I did what I had to do to ensure the survival of the human race. I would do it again. The twins have returned to their aunt's house in Pacific Heights. I will give them a day or two to rest and recuperate. But no more. For Perronel and I do not have the luxury of time. Then we will begin again. Their training must be completed. They must be prepared for the day the Dark Elders return. Because that day is almost upon us. The time of Letha approaches. from the daybook of Nicolas Flamel, alchemist, writ this day, Tuesday, 5th June, in San Francisco, my adopted city. Tuesday, 5th June. Chapter 1.
Never thought we'd see this place again.
Sophie Newman grinned and looked at her brother.
Never thought I'd be so happy to see it, Josh said.
It looks, I don't know, different.
It looks the same, his twin answered. We're the ones who've changed. Sophie and Josh were walking down Scott Street in Pacific Heights, heading for their Aunt Agnes's house on the corner of Sacramento Street. They had last seen the house 6 days earlier, Thursday, May 31st, when they had left for work, Sophie at the coffee shop, Josh in the bookstore. It had started as just another ordinary day, but it had turned out to be the last ordinary day they would ever experience. That day, their world had changed forever. They, too, had changed, both physically and mentally.
What do we tell her?
Josh asked nervously. Aunt Agnes was 84, and although they called her aunt, she was not actually related to them by blood. Sophie thought she might have been their grandmother's sister, or cousin, or maybe just a friend. But she had never been quite sure. Aunt Agnes was a sweet but grumpy old lady who fussed and worried if they were even 5 minutes late. She drove both Sophie and Josh crazy and reported back to their parents about every single thing they did.
We keep it simple, Sophie said. We stick to the story we told Mom and Dad. First, the bookshop closed because Perronel wasn't feeling well, and then the Flamels...
The Flemings, Josh corrected her.
The Flemings invited us to stay with them in their house in the desert.
And why did the bookshop close?
Gas leak.
Josh nodded.
Gas leak. And where's the house in the desert?
Joshua Tree.
Okay, I got it.
Are you sure? You're a terrible liar.
Josh shrugged.
I'll try. You know we're going to get grilled.
I know. And that's even before we have to talk to Mom and Dad.
Josh nodded. He glanced over at Sophie. He'd been mulling something over for the past few days and figured this would be the perfect time to bring it up.
I've been thinking,
he said slowly.
Maybe we should just tell them the truth.
The truth? Sophie's expression remained unchanged, and the twins continued walking, crossing Jackson Street. They could see their aunt's white, wooden Victorian house 3 blocks away.
What do you think?
Josh asked, when his sister said nothing more. Finally, Sophie nodded.
Sure, we could.
She brushed a few strands of blonde hair out of her eyes and looked at her brother.
But just let me get this straight first. We're going to tell Mom and Dad that their entire life's work has been for nothing, that everything they have ever studied, history, archaeology, and paleontology, is wrong.
Her eyes sparkled.
I think it's a great idea, but I'll let you go ahead and do it, and I'll watch.
Josh shrugged uncomfortably.
Okay, okay. So we don't tell them.
Not yet, in any case.
Agreed. But it'll come out sooner or later. You know how impossible it is to keep secrets from them, and they always know everything.
That's because Aunt Agnes tells them, Sophie muttered. A sleek, black stretch limousine with tinted windows drove slowly past them, the driver leaning forward, checking addresses on the tree-lined street. The car signaled and pulled in farther down the block.
Josh indicated the limo with a jerk of his chin.
That's weird. It looks like it's stopping out.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?